Back together once again, you and I chatting it up around the wireless for Tuesday, April 8th, 2025 on Connecticut Today. I open the show with my thoughts on some recent public statements from New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker and State Attorney General William Tong regarding a Velo Airlines agreement with the feds for deportation flights not out of Connecticut but out of Arizona. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio dropped by to talk about a proposal to spend millions of dollars on early childhood education and care in Connecticut. And we welcomed once again CBS News correspondent Aaron Navarro. He dropped by to talk about the latest news surrounding some hectic days at the Trump White House regarding tariffs.
All right, enough. Please, for the love of God, enough. Enough with the slobbering love affair with migrants in this state. And I'm not attacking the migrants per se, I'm not. But my God, some of our leaders, again, I keep talking about this day after day after day. And it comes to fruition the more I talk about it. Anything that has to do with tightening our immigration laws and cracking down on some folks, not all, but some folks who, listen, whether you like to admit it or not, they're not here under legal circumstances, okay? Can we all admit that? But my God, the slightest tightening of the laws here and the slightest law enforcement here, everybody's in a tizzy now. Please, for the love of God, stop. Did you see the latest here? And Chris had it in his news, and it's been talked about all over the state since yesterday. Now, the mayor of New Haven, Justin Elliker, who I think is, at level, a pretty smart guy, does a decent job in my hometown. Justin Elliker, William Tong, they're all a quiver here. They're all chewing their lips, banging their heads on the wall, because the Velo Airlines, very successful regional carrier, operating out of Tweed, New Haven Airport, there in the Morris Cove area, New Haven, East Haven, right there. Avello, in a deal that's got nothing to do with the state of Connecticut, nothing, in a deal with the feds, is going to begin flying deportation charter flights for Homeland Security, not out of Connecticut, not out of Tweed, not out of Sikorsky, not out of Bradley, not out of Danbury Airport, not out of Meriden. They're flying them out of Mesa, Arizona. So, of course, Justin Elliker, the mayor of New Haven. So, of course, William Tong. Who else? William, God, I want to be Governor Tong. God, Governor Tong sounds good to me. So, of course, you've got William Tong and you've got Justin Elliker and other migrant advocates. That's my favorite, too. Lashing out at Avello when it's none of their GD business. Who the heck are these people? With all due respect to Attorney General Tong and with all due respect to Mayor Elliker in New Haven, who the hell are you people to be telling a private company what to do with the federal government in a completely separate business deal that at least at this point has nothing to do with you, nothing to do with Connecticut, nothing to do with New Haven? But again, the majority Democrats in this state, they don't get it. They still don't get why Trump won. They either don't get it, they're too dumb to see it, or they don't want to see it. The flights have nothing to do at this point with Connecticut or New Haven or Hartford. They'll begin out of Mesa, Arizona on May 12th. That's where Avello plans to base three planes. There is no mention, says here in this story from Hearst, of any such charters out of Tweed, New Haven Airport, or Bradley, which together comprise Avello's largest East Coast base. The announcement has stirred some people up, though. Now, what did he say? You may say, well, what did the mayor of New Haven say? Well, here it is.
For Avello to participate in something that doesn't reflect New Haven's values and is part of something that I think is pretty unethical is really disappointing.
Well, what is New Haven's values, Mayor? Being a sanctuary city and spending hard-earned tax money on people who aren't citizens? My God, do you understand why Donald Trump won? Do you get it? Because this is exactly what I was talking about yesterday. You have people that foam at the mouth, that love to do social media posts, that love to do news conferences and spout off here. And these are the same people that are screeching about Donald Trump. You do understand why he won, don't you? Now, I don't want to stifle anybody's freedom of speech. I never do that on this show. So I simply ask the question. And let's open it up now. But there's more coming here because now they want to, William Tong is floating, getting rid of a fuel subsidy or whatever, when it's absolutely none of the state's business. Zero. How about lowering our electric rates? How about giving cops the powers to better clamp down on folks who are token up pot while they're driving? How about that? How about making sure our kids get better educated instead of sitting there whining about what a private company is going to do in contract with the federal government, with no mention, at this point, of Connecticut? So I ask you, we'll start off on this. Should local officials speak out about a fellow's contract with the federal government for migrant deportation flights? To me, it's idiotic. Look, I know people can say what they say, but this just reinforces the fact that the Democratic Party, nationally and here in the state, they're floundering. The Democratic Party now is like that kid that you're trying to teach to swim and walks over to the pool and kind of puts your toe in and goes, I don't know. And then finally, the drunk uncle or the father just throws the kid in the water, and the kid eventually, with the reflexes, will swim. That's what has to happen to the Democratic Party, especially in Connecticut right now. But I may be wrong here. What do you think? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Are you okay with local officials speaking out about Avello's contract with the feds for migrant deportation flights? I say yeah. Start up those engines. Every single day, there's another example or two of what all those folks who protested over the weekend, God bless you, instead of waving your placards and signs, read the news and understand why your side is losing now, whether it's in D.C. or at the state capitol in Hartford. There is the worst case of blinders on right now, and being tone deaf that I've ever seen. And they're not stopping. So again, it was discovered that Avello Airlines has a separate deal with the feds, which so far at least has no indication that either Bradley Airport or Tweed in New Haven or any other Connecticut airports are involved. As many other airlines do, they shuttle troops, they shuttle immigrants and migrants to and from hither and yon, as we say. And now, all of a sudden, you have the mayor of New Haven. Suddenly, the mayor of New Haven, my hometown, the city of Elms, talking about values.
For Avello to participate in something that doesn't reflect New Haven's values and is part of something that I think is pretty unethical is really disappointing.
And you're going to keep losing. Your party is going to keep losing. The attorney general of this fine state, William Tong, suggested that the state should consider pulling its support from Avello. How about this? One of our highest elected constitutional officers who wants to be governor in the worst way. You could just see it, listen to him, and God bless him. If he can ascend to the governorship, go right ahead. But my God. The state suspended the aviation fuel tax for Avello for a period of time, which was announced around the time Avello began flying out of Bradley. Tong's office said the state also provided Avello with a guarantee against losses of up to $2 million. Oh, but they're all a quiver now. It's none of your business, sirs. With all due respect, if you grew up in an Italian household like I did you ever hear the phrase "state zitto"? Especially me with my motor mouth. How about everybody start to see? Now, if it eventually involves Connecticut, okay, then say all you want. But my God, just because the airline uses Tweed and you for once made a smart business deal to bring these people in here, now you're going to hem and haw about this. Oh, my God, they're working with Trump. Again, there's a reason your side lost in November. There's a reason you lost in December. There's a reason you lost in 2016. And there's a reason you almost lost in 2020. So are you going to straighten out your party and bring politics in this state and in this country back to an equilibrium, or are you just going to continue treating the migrant issue in the state like it's Holy Communion? My God. William Tong said, if the reporting is accurate, Avello has freely chosen to profit and facilitate Trump's inhumane and lawful atrocities. He added, the state of Connecticut has an obligation now to review this business decision and to reconsider the viability of our choice to support and partner with Avello. That's nice, right? Nice. I hope businesses around the country are watching this. Hey, should we relocate into Connecticut? Blank no. Why would we want to go there? Instead of worrying about that, how about worrying about, I don't know, getting our kids to read and write, right? How about lowering our electric bills? Can you do that? How about that? How about allowing cops to pull over people who are using weed behind the wheel? No, can't do that. Got to worry about deals that Avello has with the feds. Boy. Dave in Brantford's here. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good.
I'd like to focus. I'd focus in on Avello, and it's not Avello is in bed with Trump. They are in bed with a government that pays them. 3 years ago, when Miranda Devine was on the story of those midnight migrant runs to Westchester Airport.
Yeah. Oh, those were all lies, supposedly. Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't keep good FCC records of the origin and the passenger manifests. And there was reportage that Avello was coming into Tweed with the same kind of migrant distribution network that Biden was paying for.
Well, that I never heard. That I never heard.
No new. It absolutely happened. And Dave,
where's the evidence?
New York Post had the pictures of the airplanes that would land at Westchester.
Okay.
And they'd follow the buses that distributed the booty to NGOs at rest stops on the Garden State and New York Thruways, where the charities would pick them up and take them.
No, I remember that, but was there any, because I you know how many news sources I check every allegations.
There were allegations in Connecticut that Tweed and Avello were doing the same thing, and Leora Levy started talking about the story in her run for Senate, and the uninterested media in Connecticut did not pursue the story. And so Avello took money. They transshipped the migrants in Florida who didn't want them. And then they'd come up to the Northeast and distribute them.
No, but here's the thing, Dave.
So Avello's thing is they keep their mouth shut. They take the government money.
Well, why not? I would, too. Wouldn't you keep your mouth shut if the feds came to you and said, here's X amount per flight?
And so I'll end it on this. So now when the migrants are going in the other direction, Bad Billy Tong is all jazzed about it. How dare they, when he kept his mouth shut when the migrants were coming in on the government nickel. And nobody said anything.
Bad Billy, huh? Did you come up with that, Dave?
Bad Billy. Yes, I did. Bad Billy Tong. Bye.
Right. Bye, Dave. I thought he was going to say Bad Blake. What was the name of that movie? Great movie. What's his name, played the country singer there about 7 or 8, 9, 10 years ago. Great movie. His fictional name in the movie was Bad Blake. Yeah. Good stuff there. Tell you what, before we get back to the phone, it's Bad Billy Tong. So what do you think it is? Should Mr. Tong, I'm not going to address him that way, should Attorney General William Tong and maybe the mayor of my beautiful hometown, the city of Elms in New Haven, just as my mother used to say, Ofa, stop this eat.
For Avello to participate in something that doesn't reflect New Haven's values and is part of something that I think is pretty unethical is really disappointing.
Hundreds of millions of bucks. That is apparently the number that's going to be involved here in a plan being pushed by Governor Ned Lamont to provide early childhood care and education. Is this a wise investment? What does the math say here? Is this just a goodie heading into the short session of the General Assembly next year as we get ready for an election. We will ask all those questions and more to my regular Tuesday contributor, Megan Portfolio. She, of course, writes the Hartford Portfolio blog. She explains all this at the Yankee Institute. Megan, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Was that Darth Vader's music playing?
It is a very dark music, I believe it is. Yes, I'm not sure.
Oh, I love it.
You like that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was feeling like very menacing.
But, well, I guess that's because you've been reading this whole thing and covering it for us. And we're talking about now. Well, now explain this to my listeners here, Megan. We're talking, what, $200-300 million proposal. What is this? Where's the money coming from? Is this thing going to pass? The governor seems really big on this. So break this down for us.
Well, it's not $200 or $300 million. It's like $600 million plus over the next 2 years.
Okay.
It's the House Democrats, one of their priority bills this year is to tackle early child care in the lack. I mean, I guess we have a shortage of care workers.
Yeah.
They're underpaid. So they want to create this. Well, the account's already created, but now it's time to start putting money in this account. And
yeah.
What this account will do is it expands that Care for Kids program. It's a subsidy program to help low and moderate income people afford child care.
Yep.
This fund would also provide salary increases. It would subsidize health care plans and then a bunch of administrative support and then a bunch of bonding that they would like to do in the tune of $100 million, and it will cost $143 million to pay it back.
Okay.
But the money comes from us. And it's over $600 million over the 2 years, but this is an ongoing thing, because if you're going to provide health care subsidies to people, you can't just shut it off. You see what's happening now in Washington with the Medicare, they hands off. Actually, I want to start a hands off rally, Paul.
Okay.
Hands off my paycheck. Anyway, I digress.
No,
so
okay.
It's a big priority to help subsidize healthcare in the state, and which is nice. It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
It would be nice for families to be able to afford healthcare. However, we're at a time right now of a little uncertainty, as some financial forecasters are. I mean, the earth's not going to explode tomorrow, but I mean, there is some concern that there could be a possible recession on the way. Goldman Sachs is saying they're thinking maybe about a 45% chance
of
a recession.
Yeah, and also, Megan, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the numbers I see, everybody's like, well, the state budget's in good shape for about the next year. Then they say, well, 2 or 3 years from now, here comes the cavalcade of red ink here. So how does that possible red ink then square up with this $300 or $600 million use of the surplus here? I mean, how does this all work?
I mean, it's almost like they're not even looking past tomorrow. I mean, they're like, this is a nice bill. It has good feels to it.
Yep.
It helps people. I mean, I'm not opposed to helping people.
Sure.
But $600 million, I mean, we have fiscal guardrails in place, and
yeah.
we have them in place because prior to them, we would do things like this, these nice shiny programs. Let's have this ongoing spending going on, and then suddenly it's budget time. Oh, my goodness, we can't close the budget. Now we're robbing from Peter to pay Paul. We're, you know, pushing pension payments down, you know, down the road. And we got into such a bad situation, they couldn't even come up with a budget by the deadline in 2017. They had to actually, I think it was September, October, they were finally able to pass a budget. And it's like, that wasn't that long ago. And it's almost as if they forgot. It's like old habits, or as the great Taylor Swift says, old habits die screaming. It's like they forget about this.
My God, a Taylor Swift reference from Megan Portfolio. Are you a Swiftie?
I am such a Swiftie.
Nice,
I know.
Nice. Very nice. But
don't hold it against me.
But no. Listen, God bless her. She's an economic force. But I digress. So wait a minute now. How are they able to use this money use it to generate the interest, whatever, under the current budget guardrails. Is this going to require some finagling here or what?
Oh, yes. This is a new game that we like to play up in Hartford.
Yeah.
We create accounts outside of the guardrail, and we divert money. So the money comes in.
Yeah.
And they divert it over to this account. They want to actually start the account with $100 million this year and then $100 million next year by taking surplus dollars at the end of the year. Like once they close the budget out, there's surplus money. And that surplus money is supposed to go into the rainy day fund. And once that's reached as its cap, the rest of it is supposed to be used to pay down debt, like our unfunded pension liabilities.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. So my next question was going to be, will this, the way you read it and dissect it for us, does this affect in any way our continuing ability? And knock on wood, I applaud the governor for this, for saying, hey, we need to pay down this long-term debt. Is that going to slow down or stop with this plan, or do we know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you're taking $100 million from our surplus, that could be $100 million, you know, to pay down debt. And I keep hearing this. I've seen this in a few bills, language, you know, talking about these surplus dollars. And it reminds me of this girl, Renee, I used to hang out with back in the day. And she was on Weight Watchers, and Weight Watchers has points.
Yes.
And she'd be like, she'd open up the refrigerator. Oh, this is only 1 point. Oh, this is only 1 point. And then come to find out she was not losing weight. She was putting on weight. And we're like, Renee, you have to add up the points. It's just like it catches up with you at some point. It's not just 1 point here and 1 point there. Like, you have to add them all together.
She didn't understand that there's an aggregate point thing going on.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, this General Assembly this session is like my old friend Renee. You know, it's like, we'll use the slush money here. Like, it's not this infinite amount of slush fund that we have. And actually, if we do have a recession coming, like, I'm not a financial expert. Like, apparently, everyone's like this financial trade tariff expert nowadays.
Yeah,
like, I'm not one of them.
Yeah, me neither.
I can't predict this.
But
if we do have a recession coming, or if there is a hint of a recession coming, it's not responsible to be doing this outrageous spending. And then, I mean, I've also been hearing people want to, like, raid the rainy day fund. Like, no, like, we need to have that in place, because if we do have a recession, I remember 08, it was really bad.
Oh, no.
And we're going to need that money.
Yeah, I mean,
we need them for basic services.
Well, yeah.
Just to manage the government for unemployment. It's, you know, that's why we have it.
I lost one of my broadcast jobs in 08, not because of anybody I wasn't doing well with, but just the money wasn't there. You know, finally, I mean, look, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. This is my opinion. I just want to run it past you. Is this just a big goodie as we head into 2026? Maybe Governor Lamont running again, maybe not. But is this just an election year goodie here or not?
It's both. I mean, there are a lot of career politicians in our General Assembly, and they know the game, and they know what they need to do in order to get votes from, you know, their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others that, you know, they do in their heart think this is a good thing.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, they're trying to do good. But I wish the government would try less to do good, because whenever they try, they don't have a very good track record in success and in like the war on poverty, war on drugs. They never actually like do anything, and they usually make the problems worse.
Okay. How was the CTN been?
I'm a little behind. Don't tell my boss. I had a few days off last week, so I'm scrambling to catch up.
Catch up, CTN on the DVD.
I'm like, I have way too much stuff to write. I'm like, I need to just not sleep for 3 days.
CTN on the DVR, huh? A lot of DVR and CTN. Huh? Is that
what I love technology.
Yeah. All right. Megan Portfolio, check it out. The Hartford Portfolio at the Yankee Institute. Megan, thanks. Have a happy week, and we'll chat next week.
You too, sir. Bye.
All right, thanks. There you go. Yeah, Megan Portfolio, and she, again, what she does for us and for the folks at Yankee, she watches hours and hours and hours of debate in Hartford, and she reads pages and pages and pages of these bills. You know, I've always, in my 40-plus years of doing this, you know, sat back and fantasized, what would it be like to cover the White House? What would it be like to cover those news conferences, those daily press briefings? And it must be really exhausting these days. And here's a guy who we have on the show oftentimes, CBS News correspondent Aaron Navarro. Aaron, it's Paul again, my friend. How are you holding up with all the craziness here? What's going on?
Paul, good to be with you. I'm holding up well. It's certainly a lot of developments every hour, every minute, but I'm doing all right.
A lot of coffee. Right. A lot of coffee, huh? So what's the latest? Right. Now, it seems like Mr. Trump, he's not backing off these tariffs, is he?
Yeah, and the biggest one is on China, which has been President Trump's main gripe when it comes to the trade deficit, and in a way, kind of the impetus of the trade war. The White House, after midnight tonight, is going to be placing an additional 50% tariff on Chinese goods. That brings it to a total of 104% tariff tax on goods imported into the U.S. From China. And they really seem to not be backing down by that. But at the same time, they have said they are open to negotiations. They're essentially playing chicken with China, asking and telling them that if they want to make a deal, we'll hear it. You guys should call us first. But overall, they've opened up negotiations with other trading partners. They have claimed about 70 countries have reached out to try and make a sort of trade deal. We're seeing some developments there when it comes to Japan, but they seem somewhat open for business in a sense when it comes to negotiations, but they still have a lot of stipulations, conditions that they have top of mind in any potential trade deal, which is unlikely to happen before these reciprocal tariffs take effect tomorrow.
Aaron, one final question here. The rumblings, the agita, the upset stomachs among Republicans in Congress, you hearing any of that or not?
It's been mixed throughout the week for sure, but we have seen today is at least a bipartisan effort with Senator Rand Paul in Kentucky being part of this to try and kind of claw back control of tariffs from the executive branch, from President Trump. We saw a similar bill kind of pass the Senate already. There's an effort in the House, but certainly there is some action among Republicans to try and limit President Trump's power. But at the same time, you've heard a lot voicing confidence in this sort of big economic bet that the president is making.
Aaron Navarro, CBS News. Aaron, be good, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. Our buddy Aaron Navarro.